Yep. I'll take care of that. Good. Let me see if I can do it. Yeah. Yeah.
And he said no bell, so it should be. Yeah. But that's what we're going with, at least. What's that? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Alicia. We're good. Thank you. Good morning, church. Good to see so many smiling faces today as we celebrate the wonderful day that God has given us. A few announcements before we get started. excuse me. Ooh, I lost my voice a little. Right before worship started too, so great timing. Actually, we just got back from our youth retreat in Columbus, planning our Tar Hollow. So we had a long day in Columbus yesterday, but it was a great event with the kids. But I want to start off by giving special thanks to all who helped with our food on the fly and then our concert that cares that happened on Thursday. Great event. Our musicians were fantastic. Charlotte, Kira, we had Riley Steele with her brother Max, and then also we had Addie Van Arnsdale. And each one of them were fantastic. Each one of them sang. We had... Macrea LaRue from Noah's Hope, who was here representing them. And what was really cool when I was looking out at the event for this first time is we had more people here who were non-members than members supporting this event. So it was a great outreach opportunity. We raised a lot of funds. We're hoping to do this again in the future. I'll embarrass a couple people. I actually have Kira and Charlotte stand so we can give them a round of applause for their wonderful musicianship and great representation. Woo. I know how much teenagers love to stand and get attention, so we appreciate that. Some other announcements. Please don't forget our elders are meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. A lot of good things to discuss on our agenda. Dover on Monday night is also hosting Moravian Night at the Quaker. So if you're interested in catching a free flick, they'll be showing on two different stages. One will be It's a Wonderful Life, and the other will be Star, the Christmas movie, which just came out last year. So something for the young kids to watch, something for older families to watch as well. So it'll be a great opportunity. If you want to go catch a free flick at the Quaker tomorrow night, please feel free to join that. Spiritual companioning will be happening on Wednesday from 7 to 8 with a shared meal at 6:30. Remember, we moved that up a week so it wouldn't interfere with Thanksgiving. Excuse me. Next week, we have a special Sunday. We have a combined Sunday school class for as we celebrate getting prepared for the Advent season. And then after worship, we have our Advent workshop. So great opportunity. There'll be a free breakfast for you and then a free lunch for you after worship. So you get two free meals, and we have birthday and anniversary Sunday, so you get cake along with that. So no reason to miss out on... Yeah, Kaylin. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. Yeah, if you could help out our leaders for Advent Workshop, that would be greatly appreciated. Our next mission trip meeting to discuss plans for our mission to Trickleby Cafe in Milwaukee from July 4th to July 11th will be Saturday, November 30th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share? Yeah, Floyd. Let's give a round of applause to everybody who supported Operation Christmas Child. Great ministry, great mission. We're going to have the kids bless these boxes during our children's chat. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another.
Morning, Rick. Morning, Angie. Morning, Chloe.
How are we doing?
Morning. Morning, Rick.
Oh, my goodness.
Morning, Carolyn. Morning, Marion. How's your sister doing? Sure. Morning, Rick.
Oh, my goodness. We'll keep...
No problem.
You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week this week. Our watchword comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Amen. You may be seated.
Call to worship.
The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen us and protect us.
May God protect us from going down the wrong path.
We have confidence in the Lord and all that He has done.
May the Lord direct our hearts to God's love through Christ's perseverance.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You." Please remain standing as we join together in our liturgy for Pentecost.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit of God, we praise and worship you as the one who gave birth to Christ's church. With the sound of mighty wind and flashing fire, you brought life to the church in Jerusalem. You filled
those tiny new believers with power, and they became Christ's witnesses, speaking boldly the word of truth.
You continue to transform believers, healing, reconciling, empowering. Lives are turned around, emptiness is filled, drifting hearts are given direction.
You vitalize your wavering church, lavishing gifts upon us, forging unity, giving new vision. We return our eyes from the wistful memories of yesterday to the new things you are doing among us now.
We worship and extol you, our teacher, guide, and comforter. You make Christ known to us and make us your holy temple.
By your presence, the church in all its diversity is welded together in unity.
Please be seated. Interceding Spirit, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but you understand our deepest needs and present them with love to the Father. Lead us now to repentance and confession. Holiness, we confess that we are sinful people,
in thought, word, and deed. We quench the fire of your love and dissipate the power of your presence. You long to restore us to the image of God, but we let it tarnish as we nurse selfish attitudes.
You nurture the beauty of the
world is poor. You come to make our bodies your temples. We desecrate them. We dishonor your good intentions for us. Forgive us, merciful Spirit. Burn away our impurities and forge us into renewed and useful instruments in your service. Amen.
There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. We believe God's promise in these last days. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon both men and women in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall speak my message.
The Spirit of God dwells in us.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power and we become God's witnesses.
The fruit of the Spirit brings the lives of those who follow Christ in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
The diverse and empowering gifts of the Spirit are given to each one for the common good. None of us is useless to God. None of us is sufficient alone. We serve through the body of Christ and we depend on the people of Christ.
The Spirit's gifts are given to equip believers for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until all of us come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Come, heavenly dove, and alight upon us. Anoint us to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release, recovery, and freedom to those in need.
Empower us to work for God's kingdom in such a way that the life becomes a jubilee for us and for all people.
Lift up the lonely, the neglected, the outcast. Comfort the grieving. Restore the lost. Be the advocate of the afflicted.
Teach all your people. Remind us of Jesus and lead us into all the truth.
Keep us on the edge of dynamic living, wrapped in the flames of new beginnings and filled with power for personal renewal.
For us in the likeness of Christ, that we may glorify God's name.
Renew our church. Fill stagnant and empty lives with the breath of God. Overcome our apathy and energize us with your engaging presence.
Give your church new vision, new hope, and inviting desire.
Spirit of power, work in all who confess the risen Christ to spread the message of hope, love, salvation to every person and nation.
Hasten the day when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And our minds to our offering, especially as we prepare our hearts for the Thanksgiving season, a time of thankfulness, a time of gratitude. And let us remember that the first thing we should be grateful for is the wonderful presence and the wonderful love that God shows each and every one of us every single day. So let us now give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts.
Please rise.
Let us pray together. Holy Spirit,
help us to sing your praises of mercy in all circumstances. We know that a faithful life does not mean a perfect life, yet all of us have the wonderful opportunity to give something back to God. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and reflection on the life God has given us, and look at some of the challenges that other people face in our world. Let us begin first by offering congratulations to Linda and Terry Bonnell on celebrating their 50th anniversary yesterday. We know Linda can't be here. She hasn't been feeling well, but let's give them a round of applause on 50 wonderful years. Amen. Some other prayers and concerns. Thanks for safe travels from the Pasquinelli family. They've been working their way around up and down the United States these past couple of weeks for different events, a lot of different church functions, a larger life in our Eastern District Board as well. And I also want to offer safe travel. I believe that thanks now, the Bennington family was going back and forth to Michigan for some big events and hit some weather. And I think they're doing just fine. Ellington. He has cancer. Prayers for him. He is a classmate of Ryland, so we definitely uplift him in prayer. For Linda Free, who would be Mary Ann Creel's sister, who has been diagnosed with stage 3 melanoma. We definitely uplift her in prayer. For Mary Ann, a friend of Jean Ann Baker, who has also been diagnosed with cancer. We pray for Janet West, who had her heart surgery delayed this past week. There's some issues with some of the stuff that was provided for the surgery, not with Janet herself. So that has been rescheduled and pushed back a couple weeks. Prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Barbara Wolf, who would be Tiff Swaddle's mother, who had a courageous battle with cancer. Prayers for her, her family, for all those surrounding her, and may they know that the love will abide within them in this difficult time. For Jim Green, Jill Schaefer's brother, who fell and broke his leg a couple weeks ago. He continues to deal with some health issues and looking for his next stages of care. For Manny Weaver, who is a friend of Letitia Wright's, he's been having a lot of health issues and brain issues, actually, so he's been at Cleveland Clinic, so please continue to pray for him. For Kendra Schilling, who is recovering from an automobile accident, and he has some long-term health concerns there. For Ava Fawcett, an 8-year-old who was taken to Cleveland Clinic, or Akron Children, a few weeks ago, and they've been trying to get some of her health situation. Yeah, sure.
I want to report that she's back to school.
She's back to school. That's wonderful.
Yeah, Ava had juvenile diabetes, so continued prayers for her as she makes those lifestyle changes needed for that. For my mother, Wendy Lippert, who had a successful heart cath done on Monday, they found no complications, so we are grateful for that. For Joyce Sainto, many of you may have heard that name. She's a longtime organist at Sharon. She is going into hospice care, dealing with some cancer right now, so we continue to uplift her in prayer at this time. For Daniel Johnson, who would be the son of Chris and Daryl Johnson, he is having a heart procedure done in Kansas City on Monday. It is a procedure that was expected. Daniel was born with some heart defects, so they're hoping to fix some things that have been there for a long time with a stent. So we continue to uplift them in prayer. And Amy had a prayer concern. She wanted to. Okay, yeah, we will uplift Jeff in prayer as he gets ready for his upcoming surgery. And he's had his delayed a few times. So let's take a moment in silence and lift these many prayer concerns up to God as we join our hearts in one as we pray together. Gracious God, we have many prayer concerns to turn over to you this week. Help us to pay attention to your presence behind the scenes, because we realize in the midst of a lot of difficult diagnosis, a lot of difficult grief, and a lot of difficult circumstances, you are there with us, not just in the sunshine, but in the difficult moments too. Because that's what it means to have a God who is all present. A God who will hold our hand in the difficult moments as well as be there in our joys. So we think especially of the families that are grieving, for the family of Barbara Wolf, and for so many other families who have lost loved ones these past couple weeks. We think of those who are sick and dealing with cancer. So many people this past month that have faced those diagnoses. And we realize that there are so many young children who are also battling difficult circumstances. Help us to remember that you claim that little children come, let them come to the Lord, and help them to know that no matter what they are facing, you, God, are there with them. So help us to surround everyone in love and comfort. And when we think about our world, help us to be grateful for every day, for every gift, for every blessing, because we realize there was a lot that we have our hearts to be heavy for, but you free our spirit from all the pain, from all the suffering, from all the sorrow, so that we can focus on what you call us to focus on, which is to spread the faith, the hope, and the love, and the mercy, because gracious God, this world needs it, and those are the wonderful things we need to cling to, even more so when circumstances are difficult, because it reminds people of the godly reflection within each one of us. It brings our world closer and reminds us that love is so much stronger. The light is so much stronger than the darkness, because you create us to be a free people, a loving people, and a gracious people. So help us to carry our mission and our purpose first, to love one another as you have loved us. In your graceful and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson for today is Psalm 98. It can be found on page 426 in your pew Bible. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Thank you, Rick. Our gospel today comes from the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 5 through 19, the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end times. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus says, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but at the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you'll bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. Come on up. Get some stuff out of my bag. Good morning. Come on up. Come on up, Reese. That's okay, Will. See, Willow gives us a good segue because we're talking about difficult circumstances in life. Circumstances that make us cry, absolutely. So we're going to play a little game that I call, it's called a survival game. So you are going to have to work together as a group to tell me which item will help me survive a difficult circumstance the best. I didn't tell you the circumstance yet, so you got to wait till I tell you the circumstance. So we'll start with something easy. Let's say it's a beautiful day, a beautiful summer day, and all of a sudden the sky gets really dark, and a storm comes, and I need something to protect me. What am I going to use? You don't pop it open, though. It's bad luck. Why would an umbrella be good for me? What would it protect me from? Okay, it'd protect you. And it would keep me what? It would keep me dry, absolutely. So let's see. Let's see if we can come up with another one. So let's say if I was super cold, I was in Antarctica, I was a sled dog racer, and I needed something to protect my hands. What could I use? These? I could use the socks, yeah. And what would they do? They would keep me what? I have my little socks on. They keep you warm. Alright, here's a harder one. If I had a headache, I should rub this on my head to help me. You gotta pick it as a team. What are you picking? Lip balm? Nope. Lip balm actually wouldn't be the perfect. Toothpaste? No, not dental floss.
Honey?
Not honey. Actually, guess what? I learned this on the internet this past week. Apple. If you rub a green apple and you eat a green apple, it's supposed to help you with headaches and migraines and things like that. Yeah, so who would have thought that? But you know that about green apples. So I got another one for you. I'm stuck in the woods. Reese, I want you to help. Can you help pick this one? I'm stuck in the woods. I'm lost in the forest. And I need to go hunting, and I need something to set a trap to go hunting. What would I pick?
Honey.
That's the food I would use to set the trap with, but what would I actually use to set the trap with? Why would it be dental floss, Paige? Yeah, what? So since you guys floss every night like you're supposed to, you know what about dental floss? You could. Dental floss is what? It's long. And guess what else about dental floss? Can I rip this?
It's strong, too, so you can set up a really good trap with dental floss. All right.
She's saying hi every time. She's a person.
She does say hi. That's good. She's fun and social. So if I had okay, here's another one. If I had a bee sting, I could rub this on my bee sting to help. Oh, children. If I had a bee sting and a bee was around me, you would attract more bees. Not peanut butter. Toothpaste. Toothpaste. Nobody knows why, but if you rub toothpaste on a bee sting, they claim that it takes out the acid of the bee sting with what's in the toothpaste, which is very interesting. And so let's say, here's your last one. Let's say if I was lost in the woods and I had nothing to eat on, what could I use? That's nothing to eat on. I wouldn't eat on peanut butter. Coffee filters, because what happens if you have a bunch of coffee filters? What happens to them? They become resilient. They become strong. They become stable. And yep, you can put your peanut butter in there. So what? Okay, I'll take all my stuff so we can focus on that. So what this teaches us about... Oh, thank you for my lip balm. That would actually be very helpful, too, in certain circumstances. You know what this stuff could help you with? If you were in the Amazon and you got bit by a ton of mosquitoes, what could this help you with? Nick? You could rub it on your bug bites. It could actually help you with that. That's what actually chapstick and lip balm is very good for. So we did this to talk about preparing for difficult things. Why is it important to prepare for tough stuff in life too, not just fun stuff? What do you think, Wynn? Why is it important to prepare for difficult stuff? It might happen. Like, let's say you could be on a car ride and your baby sister could be screaming or something. You got to be prepared for those moments. She was screaming? That happens sometimes with the little sisters. What else, Rylan? For survival. Because we got to know how to be survivors. We got to know how to handle difficult circumstances. So Jesus tells us how to prepare for things. Why? Because why is it important to be prepared? So you'll know what to do. So for example, if you get stung by a bee, you don't want to rub yourself in honey, because guess what? All you'll do, what will happen? You'll attract a ton of bears and probably get stung by more bees, huh? That wouldn't be a good thing. But if you know that you have toothpaste with you, oh, and toothpaste can help you, then it'll help you survive, and that's why Jesus helps us with. Oh, it happens. And that's why we got to make sure we take care of each other, because none of us know what difficult things we face. We just know that we'll need help and we'll need God to provide for us. So we're going to pray. Actually, we're going to pray with our blessing boxes. And we got a musician here already. We got a rampant musician. So our song today was Sing a Joyful Noise, so Will has already got us beat. We're going to touch our blessing boxes. We're going to pray over these because we don't know where they're going to go. So I want everybody to touch one. If you can't reach one, here you go. Wynn, you want to touch one with me? Reach, you want to touch this one with us? And we're going to pray right now. So I want everybody to close their eyes and we're going to pray together because we want God to bless these boxes to the children they're going to. So gracious God, please bless the kids who will receive these boxes. Thank you for all the wonderful people who worked hard to provide them. Help each child on this earth know that they are loved by God and cared for by God. Because each child deserves that. And each child should know that God loves them, their family loves them, and nothing will ever change that. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Oh, and we're going to do our joyful noise offering. So I want everybody to grab a can for me. And it goes great with our Operation Christmas Child because we're raising money for Adopt a Village. Reese, yep, go ahead. You want to work? Go all the way to the back. And, yep, perfect. There you go, Reese. Shabbat. Did anybody not get a chance? Raise your hand if you didn't get a chance to make a joyful noise. You can bring them right back up here. Oh, careful. That happened. We got it. So we're all done. Hold on, before we grab our snacks. All right, you got your snacks? All right, well, everybody take a snack one by one. Okay. Oh, thank you, Rick. All right. If you didn't get one, make sure you get a chance to share with somebody. Remember, we have our survival guide, so we learn. So everybody did a good job. We're going to pray quick, since that'll give everybody a chance to catch their breath. So you guys want to put your hands in? We're going to pray for the joyful noise that we did, okay? Gracious God, we ask that you bless this joyful noise and help Adopt a Village and help all kids who live in villages. And may they know the love of the wonderful, awesome, and mighty God. In your name we pray. Amen. So lift your hands. 1, 2, 3. Amen. There you go. Thank you very much. So you may remain seated as we join together for our next song. Got a chance to catch our breath a little bit there. So let's take a moment in prayer as we invite God into this message. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire today and help us to proclaim your truth and turn it into our actions for mission and discipleship of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our message today, we're going to look at Luke 21, this mysterious passage that Christ has laid out for us. And I want us to think about, when we start our conversation about this passage, I want us to think about an important question we all think about quite a bit. It's, how do we judge success? How do you judge success in your life? And I want you to think about that, because if I asked you as a congregation right now to organize yourself from first to least about who is the most successful person in this congregation, how would you do it? And I want you to think about it if you weren't inside of a church, because your first answer would be, who loves Jesus most, because you're in a church. But I want you to picture yourself in the real world. How would you do that, honestly? Who is the most successful person among us? And I think the answer that most of us would go to would be the easy one, because it's tangible, it's something you can see on paper, it's salary, right? We would go, who has the highest salary? And we would organize ourselves from highest to lowest. But we don't like to talk about stuff like that. Don't worry, it's not a stewardship sermon, y'all. I'm not talking about anything like that. But we would switch to something else. If it wouldn't be money, what would we switch to next? It would probably be power, right? Who has the most power at their job? That's another way to judge success. Who are the managers and the bosses and the chief elders? And who are the middle management, the people stuck in between? And who's the one at the bottom of the totem pole taking orders from people who take orders that give orders down here, way at the end of that totem pole? Everybody experiences that different. Some people are managers, some people are middle management. Retirees, I guess you're not taking orders from anybody. So it depends on your theological perspective where you fit on that spectrum. Because some of you are taking orders from six-year-olds someday, so that depends how much power you have on that given day. But we can think of a lot of different ways to do that. We could rank ourselves, maybe it's the houses we own. Who has the most square footage from their house? Or who has the longest tenure at their job because their job is the most stable? Who feels the most secure when they retire from their job? Because when we think about that question, how successful are we? It's easy to come up with all those materialistic ways to organize that list. But what about other questions? What about how many people do you get to help on a daily basis in your job? Truly get to help. How many people do you get to help? And maybe you don't have a job, but your vocation, your calling in life. How often do you get to go the extra mile for people in need with what you do in your life? In other words, if you see an opportunity in front of you where you can help somebody, are you capable of doing that, or are you locked into something you have to do? And I want you to think about those questions, because if we organized ourselves, how long do you think it would take us to get to questions like that? How often do you get to help people? Because our passage from Luke today makes me feel like those are the questions that Jesus would start with. Those are not the questions that Jesus would end with. How do you help people? The passage begins by telling us that Jesus was speaking to a crowd that was looking amongst them, and they were admiring all the beauty of the temple, the beautiful pictures, the pricey stones, and they were just relishing in that. And Jesus rebukes them for that. He tells them, not one stone will be left upon another. They all will be thrown down. And we should think about that, because American culture, we can be incredibly materialistic. We can be all about what things we own. We can spend far too much of our life admiring the pretty things, the big houses, the luxurious cars, the best amenities that life has to offer. You can go to Bed Bath & Beyond, walk in there, and find a whole aisle of stuff you never knew you needed till you walked into that aisle. I'm fascinated by that. And we live a material life, whether we like it or not. And it's easy to lose sight of those intangible things that we need, that we truly need in this life. And stuff that will guide us past our need for stuff. In fact, it's ironic that sometimes when we lose all those material things, when something happens in our life, it's those moments that teach us just how valuable those things you can't buy on a shelf are, just how important they are. That faith, the hope, the love you feel from God, the love you feel from family, that just how valuable those things can be when you're going through a truly difficult circumstances. And one of my favorite writers is Mitch Albom. And he talks about, in Have a Little Faith, how when a child, the contrast of hands, he calls it. Because when we're born, a child comes into this world, and they're kind of like a boxer. They're trying to grab and reach everything. They want to put their hands on everything they find in this world. You can see that. You can see little Willow out there just wanting to touch every possible thing she could touch. But when we die, when we leave on this earth, most people are buried with their hands opened. And do you know why? Because you can't take anything with you when you leave this earth. You're born grabbing everything, and you die realizing that there's nothing on this earth that is more important than the life that you have been given. I think that's a powerful message, because we always need to remind ourselves that it's easy to lose sight of that, that we can take nothing with us when we leave this world. And no material possession we have earned in this life can be utilized in the next life. And I got another important question I want you to think about. If St. Peter asked you at the pearly gates on the day of your death, what did you help grow and cultivate during your time on this earth? What did you help grow and cultivate on your time on this earth? And I have a feeling if the only thing you can show St. Peter is this, the gold, the riches, the money, were the things you cultivate, I have a feeling he's going to be disappointed. But if you can point down to the people amongst you and say, I helped cultivate Tyler, I helped cultivate Ryan, I helped cultivate Steve, all these different people, think about how much more joy God would get from that, just than looking at our wallets and our bank accounts. But who are you cultivating is a far more important message. Because we have to remember our purpose. And when people hear this text, they often get anxious about this text because they think the trouble that we face in our age and our world clearly points to the end of days. And this has happened, you can look in our history for the past 200 some years. The Civil War, the stock market crash, two world wars, Y2K. Everybody remembers how up in arms people were when 2000 was going to come. We were all needed to be prepared for that. September 11th. All these huge catastrophic events that were supposed to be the beginning of the end. And what's interesting is Luke wrote this gospel after 70 AD, which is a huge year in the life of the world, because 70 AD was when the temple was destroyed, ransacked in Jerusalem. So scholar Gilberto Ruiz said what that means for Luke's reader, what Jesus says in Luke 21:5-6, is more a reflection of the temple's destruction than a prediction of it. In other words, Luke isn't necessarily predicting something. He's providing care to something people had already seen happen. In other words, these people had just experienced their Pearl Harbor, their September 11th, and it was Jesus who needed to give them some comfort and some compassion at this moment. Because when we all experience those moments together as a society, it causes a crisis of faith. In modern terms, they felt like they had lost the great battle that the Japanese had won on December 8th. Evil in their world had triumphed, and they needed to make sense of it all. Where was God in the midst of this suffering? And what's interesting is Jesus comforts the crowd a little bit, but he also plays a worst-case scenario game with the crowd, and he lists all these terrible things that could potentially happen to you in your life if you're willing to be a disciple of Christ, if you're willing to put all of it on the line for what you believe. And he said, you'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. And now, what's interesting about that is some people find playing the worst-case scenario game to be helpful, like we did with the other kids, and others find it to be a source of major anxiety. And my wife and I have a lot of great conversations. I see some knowing laughter behind it because we watched the show This Is Us. and they always play the worst-case scenario game with two of the characters about some difficult circumstances in their lives. And I think it is a helpful game, but my wife finds it as a very anxious-driven game. But sometimes it helps center me to prepare for a difficult circumstance that I'm about to enter. So let me give you an example. So I get a call on the phone that I've got a hospital visit for somebody coming up. I'm not sure why, I just know that they're unexpectedly in the hospital. So to prepare myself, I think about the worst case scenario in the car on the way over there to kind of get myself centered. So I imagine things, and I think about, not things necessarily with the person I'm going to visit, but let's just say I walk into the hospital, I get the room number from the secretary, she gives me the room number, and it just so happens to be the wrong room number. So I knock on the door of this room, and it happens to be this old man named Franz who has fallen asleep, and I've woken him up from his nap. And Franz is a big, strong guy. And he also happens to be a Vietnam veteran who suffers from severe PTSD. So when I wake up Franz from his nap, he takes his beautiful lunch tray that he didn't get a chance to have during his nap, and in an act of PTSD, he flings his lunch tray directly into my face, and it smashes my glasses with this, and it just so happened Franz was eating spaghetti that day. So not only are my glasses ruined, but the spaghetti sauce gets all in my cochlear implants, and I can no longer hear anymore. So in 30 seconds, I am now blind, I'm deaf, I'm Helen Keller, basically, in those 30 seconds. And I have so much spaghetti sauce running down my shirt that everybody in the room, as I walk out of there, thinks I'm a gunshot victim who needs to be treated. So they're trying to guide me to the emergency room. And now some of you may hear that and you think, wow, that's so stupid, but for me, that centers me because I realize that's probably not going to happen. It makes me realize it better not happen. And if it does happen, I'm going to have a great story to comfort somebody who's in a sick and difficult moment. But for me, it eases me because it reminds me that no matter, even if that worst case scenario happened, I'm still going to survive. God's still going to guide me through that moment. And so it helps center me when I face something that on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 4 because I'm prepared for the 7 or the 8. And it makes it easier to manage. Now, for some of you, that would send you into an anxiety attack where you got to have the paper bag right there thinking about all those difficult circumstances. But all of us have different coping mechanisms. But the important thing that we can all center around is what writer Elise McKenzie said. She said, the best way to prepare for a calamity that could happen at any time is to be looking for Christ in any and every circumstance. You can find Jesus in everything. Look for him in even the challenging circumstances. So that's my question for you. Are you looking for Jesus in your life, in those difficult, worst-case scenario moments even? Because are you looking for him in the blessings, and are you looking for him in the challenges? Because I think that advice can truly help all of us, whether we play the worst-case scenario game or not. Because we should not see the presence of Christ in our lives as circumstantial. The Savior is not somebody we can take out of the cradle for a little bit on Christmas Day and then just put him right back. He needs to be there with us every day. And for Jesus to truly take hold of our life, he can't be compartmentalized or put on a shelf. He has to transform everything. He has to transform how we wake up in the morning. He has to transform how often we smile and give thanks for what God has given us. He has to transform how we speak, and especially how patiently we listen to one another. That should be a reflection of Christ within us. Because what we achieve and what we possess in this world will always be circumstantial. It can always change. Yet every action and every word we share in this world should remind people that we are disciples of Christ. And guess what? And no matter what circumstance comes our way, no matter what challenge comes our way, no matter what obstacle confronts us, nothing can change that. You are a child of God. You are loved by God. And God will guide you through every circumstance in life. And there is nothing that will ever change that. Feel that love. Live in that love and relish that love. Because God will provide, whether it's a blessing in your life or a difficult circumstance, the worst case scenario in your life. God's presence will abide in you. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for being present in our life. And we think about the difficult circumstances and the worst case scenarios. Help us to remember that no matter what happens, God will guide us through. God will provide, and even when we think you can't, help us to leap out in faith, because we know that you will be there reminding us that when we say can't, you can, because you are a God where nothing is impossible with you. And we are so grateful for the potential and the possibility that exists within that. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Let us please rise as we join together for our closing song. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.